This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillah wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa wala. Rabbi shrahli sadri wa yassirli amri wahlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban nar. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to Ajuzza Day. Today we are studying the 30th juz of the Quran. This is our last session for Ramadan. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from all of us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from those who attended. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from me, everybody who helped me in preparation, all those who send their kind regards and du'as and their words of encouragement. We ask Allah to make all of these good deeds heavy on their scale of judgment. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. The Prophet ﷺ said, خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ. The best of you are those who learn the Quran and those who teach it. And there is a beautiful sequence to this hadith where the Prophet mentions the one who learns the Quran first and the one who teaches it second. Even though the teacher is the one who is responsible for the education, the one the Prophet mentions initially or first is the one who's learning, because in the absence of the learner, the teacher has no one to teach. So the learner is really the one who makes it, makes the program tick. So I really appreciate all of you for being with me. Many of you have been here every day or most days, and I truly, truly appreciate your presence. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to continue our journey of learning Quran together even after this is over. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Today we have the 30th juz of the Quran. We also have a couple of special guests, inshallah, that will be joining us. And Sheikh Yahya Ibrahim will be joining us all the way from Perth in Australia. He's going to join us momentarily, not right away. And Dr. Amina Ali will join us towards the end of our session, when he will come in to say a few words and to make a final dua for us. The interesting thing about the 30th juz is that it is a juz that has all these surahs of the Quran. An-Naba to An-Nas. It includes 37 surahs of the Quran. And these are the ones that all of them are listed here. I won't read them all for you. 37 out of the 114 surahs of Quran, that is almost a third of the surahs of the Quran. Even though if you were to divide the Quran in 30 equal parts, this is 1/30th of the Quran. But if you were to look at the number of surahs, this ends up being a third of the number of surahs of the Quran. And that is a staggering amount of surahs to cover. And that these are short surahs. These are rhythmic, impactful surahs. These are surahs that are easily retainable. That's why when you have kids who learn Quran, or adults even who start to learn the Quran, the surahs you start learning is in this juz, because these are easily retainable surahs. They're short and rhythmic. The rhythm of it and the brevity of it creates the impact, because they are Meccan surahs. Surahs that were revealed largely in Mecca, except these three. 34 out of these 37 were revealed early on in the life of the Prophet ﷺ, and his audience is not someone who wants to listen to him at that point. His audience in Medina are gladly listening, and that's why you find the surahs of Quran that speak about Medina and Quran to be long, because the audience has the attention span and the desire to listen. The Meccan audience is hostile. They don't want to listen to the Prophet ﷺ. So the ayat are short to try to, you know, hook their attention, to grab their ear or their attention for a moment. Maybe the message penetrates their heart. So these are, it's a beautiful style of the Quran. It tells us how amazingly Allah speaks according to the audience that's listening. And that's a lesson for us to also apply to our lives and our communications, to make our communication better, but something for us to appreciate here today about how beautiful this is and how one wisdom perhaps of why these are short rhythmic surahs in this part of the Quran. The surahs, the first revelation of the Quran is in the 30th juz. I will actually take you to that right now. Today we will be jumping around a lot. Not me physically, but within the Quran we will be jumping around from place to place, because we cannot cover the juz in like a sequence. It's going surah by surah. We won't have enough time for that. So let me just access this here. Yes. Surah number 96 is the first surah revealed to the Prophet ﷺ. اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. Read in the name of your Lord who created. خلق الإنسان من علق. Created man from a clot of blood. اقرأ وربك الأكرم. Read, your Lord is the most bountiful one. الذي علم بالقلم, who taught by the pen. علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. Taught man what he did not know. This was the first five ayat that were revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is where the revelation began. This is the Quran that Jibreel brought to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was in the cave of Hira. This is the incident that took place on the night of power, Laylatul Qadr. The first revelation of Quran is in this juz, and as you can see, it starts by saying, "Read in the name of your Lord who created man from nothing, clot of blood." This tells us the importance in our religion of reading, acquiring knowledge, gaining and processing information, because reading is a process. It's a way to process information. That is something we are commanded to do, and that is something we're commanded to do for our sacred scriptures, the Quran and the Sunnah, the Sharia, the law, but also for everything else outside of that as well. But specifically, the important point is, don't overlook your study of the revelation. Don't overlook that. اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. It literally begins by telling you to read. The last complete surah revealed to the Prophet ﷺ was also in, or is also in this juz. This surah is called إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ Surah An-Nasr, the last complete surah revealed. So there's a beautiful first revelation and last revelation in this juz. We find this to be here. Walhamdulillah. What is this إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ? This is a Medinan era surah, because that's where the Prophet ﷺ was at that time, he had already migrated to Medina at that time, of course. So any surah revealed at that time is considered to be a Medinan era surah. What is the surah? إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ, when God's help and victory come. وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا, you see people entering God's religion in multitudes. فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْهُ إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا, then glorify your Lord with his praise and seek his forgiveness. He is always ready to accept repentance. This is one of the surahs that was revealed after the Prophet ﷺ made his Hajj. This is, I'm referencing Sheikh Yahya Ibrahim's book here. Again, I encourage you all to get it, to study for your own study and for your own purposes, and to complement what we have learned today and what we've learned in this series. He says, this was revealed after the Hajj of the Prophet ﷺ, maybe 80 or days or so before his death. So one of the last things that was revealed to the Prophet ﷺ, in fact, the last complete surah revealed to the Prophet ﷺ, 80 or so days before his death, it is a foreshadowing of the Prophet ﷺ's passing away. جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ is a, it's Allah implying that, O Prophet, your job is done. Your mission is complete. The conquest of Makkah is complete. People are entering Islam in multitudes. Your job, your mission is complete. But what's left of you, or what's left of your mission, what's left of your last days on earth, O Prophet, is the following. فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْهُ, glorify your Lord with his praise and seek his forgiveness. What's left of you to do is to glorify Allah, to praise Allah, to seek his forgiveness. The Prophet would make istighfar. He would seek forgiveness from Allah 70 times to 100 times a day. And this is someone who is not a sinner. In fact, he is the furthest from being a sinner. He is someone who every step he takes, it's either a step that he takes that Allah has commanded him to take, so it's divinely inspired, or it's a step that he takes after consultation with his companions. Everything, like, he's doing every single thing right. Yet Allah tells him, فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ, seek forgiveness from your Lord. Because we're humans, we are going to make mistakes. The Prophet is a human, he's going to set the example for the rest of us humans. Seek forgiveness for your mistakes. Never think you're above asking Allah's forgiveness. Never think you've attained a level, or never think you've attained perfection where now you can't do any wrong. If there's anybody who could be that, that would have been the Prophet. Yet he set the example of what it means to reach the pinnacle of what it means to be a human. How you reach the pinnacle of humanity is by doing everything right, following the right processes, shura, consultation, and then glorifying Allah, praising Allah, and seeking His forgiveness. Always recognizing that something could have gone wrong, and never becoming too full of ourselves. This is an amazing, and this is one of the last things the Prophet ﷺ was told. In fact, after this surah was revealed, it is narrated by the Sahaba, the Prophet ﷺ would laugh very little, and he would spend much time contemplating. And when this surah was revealed, Abu Bakr Siddiq recognized that this was the end of the Prophet's mission, and he started crying. This was something that, it's a bittersweet moment. The sweet part is that the Prophet's mission is complete. The bitter part is the Prophet is about to, he knows his time is about to finish. So the first and the last revelation is in this juz. One interesting note about this, سَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْهُ, is the Prophet he would say, سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ. O Allah, I praise you with your, I glorify you with your praise. اللَّهُمَّ اغْفِرْ لِي. O Allah, forgive me. سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ اللَّهُمَّ اغْفِرْ لِي. The Prophet would say this in his prayer. He would say this, and Aisha says he would say that to act upon the command of Allah here. So it shows the Prophet is acting on Allah's command by saying this supplication. And that's a beautiful way of the Prophet ﷺ, how he acted. And this juz has surahs of extreme virtues, surahs of the Quran that have extreme virtues. إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا is considered to be a fourth of the Quran, according to the narrations of Tirmidhi. An-Nasr is considered, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ, the one we just read, is considered to be like a fourth of the Quran. What does it mean it's considered like a fourth of the Quran? What it means is that it is a surah that has such incredible depth that if you ponder it, it's like a fourth of the message of the Quran. Like, for example, the surah إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا, that surah, like, what is its message? Its message is when the earth is shaken with its violent shaking, and when the earth shakes off her burdens, and man asks, or humans will be asking, what is happening to the earth on that day, it will narrate its account. بِأَنَّ رَبَّكَ أَوْحَالَهَا, for your Lord so has so directed it. On that day, people will come forward in separate groups to be shown their deeds. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى, whoever has done the smallest particle of good will see it, and whoever has done the smallest particle of evil will see it. As you have noticed, undoubtedly in our study of Quran, the Quran keeps making this point and emphasizing this point with power and with a multitude of examples, that your actions have consequences. Your choices have consequences. Understand the consequences of your choices and make them wisely. Don't blame others for your mistakes. Don't blame others for your flaws. وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى. Just because everybody is doing something wrong does not justify you doing something wrong. You're making your own choices. That's a consistent theme. And you notice that consistent theme is beautifully summarized here. Whoever has done the smallest particle of good will see it, i.e. on the day of judgment, and whoever has done the smallest particle of evil will see it also on the day of judgment, and will be Allah could hold him or her accountable if he chooses to. If Allah chooses to forgive and overlook, that is Allah's great mercy. But if he chooses to interrogate, that is Allah's justice, because that is the consequences of the choices that we made. So that is what it means for it to be a fourth of the Quran. Al-Kafirun, Surah Al-Kafirun, which we'll get to in a little bit, is considered also to be like the fourth of the Quran. Al-Ikhlas, Surah Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad, considered to be like a third of the Quran, because the message of the oneness of Allah is so deep, it's as if it's like the third of the Quran. Surah Al-Falaq and An-Nas, the last two surahs, are called Al-Mu'awwadhatayn, or Al-Mu'awwidhatayn, excuse me, the two surahs that you use to seek Allah's protection from and his shelter from evil, all types of evil. And for ruqya, for seeking divine cure in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is Al-Falaq and Nas, and such virtuous surahs that we find at the very end of the Quran. We have also Al-Ikhlas, Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad, Qul A'udhu Birabbi Al-Falaq, Qul A'udhu Birabbi Nas, the last three surahs of the Quran that are to be recited at every prayer, or excuse me, after every prayer they're supposed to be recited. And in fact, they're supposed to be recited according to the Sunnah, three times after Fajr and three times after Asr, and also they should be recited before sleeping. All of these are virtuous surahs, protection, reminder of our dedication to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reminder of the dominance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of this is a way for us to keep connected to our Lord in a short and quick manner, a very beautiful manner. And this juz has surahs full of virtues like this. The major themes of the 30th juz, usually we cover one. Today we have five. Okay. Because this juz, like I said, is a third of the surahs of the Quran, nearly 37 out of the 114 are in this juz. So it covers so many topics, such incredible themes. And it is going to be, I'm going to try my best to do as much justice as I can to this. This content that I'm going to be reading to you is actually from my Al-Kawthar course. It's a course I wrote called The Ultimate Reminder. And this is one of the sections in that course that I covered about the major themes of the Meccan era revelation, and particularly the 30th juz. So what are the major themes of the 30th juz? It is belief in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as you have undoubtedly noticed in our study, this is a constant theme of the Quran to emphasize this point. Different evidences, evidences from history, evidences from logic and reasoning, evidences from observation are all provided so that we can be certain that Allah is one, uniquely one, who is only the one that's worthy of worship. The Prophet ﷺ's job is to deliver the message. This is a major theme of this surah as well. Belief in the unseen. Belief in the unseen. What does it mean to believe in the unseen? Believing in Allah, being a believer, is not just a statement. You don't just say, I believe, hallelujah, right? We don't do that. For us, belief in Allah is doing all types of good deeds. That's actually what is equal to actually have belief. Iman means you're doing good deeds of all kinds. And then understanding, of course, that human beings, unfortunately, are fickle. They're ungrateful. And this surah actually talks quite, has a lot of content around that. Let's start with belief in the oneness of Allah. And let's start with the surah that is the crown jewel of the Quran. Surah Ikhlas. Surah number 112. The surah that is one of the most powerful messages of the Quran. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. Say He is Allah, the one. Ahad. Allah, Ahad is the one who is uniquely one. Not just wahid, that will be one. Ahad, uniquely one. There's nobody else like him. Allahu Samad. What is the idea? How is Allah uniquely one? Allahu As-Samad. He is the As-Samad. The there, the Al there, makes it exclusive. Only Allah is As-Samad and nobody else is. What is As-Samad? The old Arabs, the ancient Arabs in their prose and poetry would describe a person. They would describe a chieftain who would be extremely powerful and would always have leverage in negotiations and battles. They would describe that chieftain as Al-Musammad, right? Al-Sayyid Al-Musammad, from the same root as Samad, meaning this is a man who has so much influence and so much leverage, he doesn't need to negotiate with you. Or he can dictate terms. He doesn't need to win over your approval. Okay? That is the idea of As-Samad. Allah is As-Samad. From that linguistic origin, Allah names himself As-Samad, the one who does not need anybody. Who does not need anybody's approval, does not need anybody's worship, does not need anybody's offerings. He's As-Samad. And he is the one everybody needs because he has all the leverage. He has all the power. He has all the might. Everybody is dependent upon him. And that is who Allah is. And that is uniquely Allah. That is why he's the only one worthy of worship. That's why no human being can ever be a god. Because every human being is dependent on something or someone. And that's why Allah says, لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ. He is not like a human being. He does not give birth, nor was he born. He has always existed and will always exist, transcending time and transcending space. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ. There is nothing like him. There is nothing that is like Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala, an incredible surah of Quran that describes to us what it means to what our belief in the oneness of Allah and worship him exclusively, what does it mean? It also means to purge false beliefs. This is, you know, the other side of the coin. La ilaha illallah. We affirm that Allah is the one who's worthy of worship, and also affirm nobody else is worthy of worship except Allah. That is part and parcel of our belief. We purge false beliefs. And that's where Surah Kafirun comes in. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ. Say to you who deny the truth, I don't worship what you worship, and you do not worship what I worship. I will never worship what you worship. وَلَا أَنْتُمْ عَابِدُونَ مَا أَعْبُدْ. You will never worship what I worship. لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينَ. You have your religion and I have mine. The idea being here is, this is the purity of faith, separating truth and falsehood. You know, the Prophet has never been on the side of falsehood, and the believers who follow him also will be on the side of the truth, never on the side of falsehood. The interesting thing here is, this is an opportunity for people to come to the faith, so they can know that this is not like you can't bring the baggage of false beliefs into Islam. You can't do that. This is there's a clear line that's drawn, and you can't cross that. You have to leave those false beliefs, aside to truly accept Islam. And that's what Allah says: "Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu dkhulu fi silmi kaffa." In surah number two, He says, "Enter into Islam in its entirety," meaning leave your the false beliefs, the baggage of culture, leave it all behind and come to the faith in and accept it as a whole. There's no requirement or value in pretentious worship of just pretending to have faith. Has no value. So purging false beliefs is very critical. What is also evidences of Allah, like the oneness of Allah, some evidences of Allah's amazing power. Surah Fil. أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ. The incident of the Fil is a great reminder. First to the people of Mecca who are in the audience, then to the rest of us who are also in the audience as secondary members. Do you, Prophet, not see how your Lord dealt with the army of the elephant? Did he not utterly confound their plans. This is the army of a man, a king by the name of Abraha. And these are people who came from Yemen, from the south of the Arabian Peninsula, and they wanted to destroy the Kaaba. Why would Abraha want to destroy the Kaaba? Like, is he crazy? Well, Abraha had a monastery that he wanted people to come and worship instead of the Kaaba. So he was trying to hype up his monastery, but nobody in pre-Islamic Arabia cared for any other house of worship. They all knew that the only house of worship is the Kaaba, that is built by Ibrahim, that's chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the evidence that Allah's choosing of the Kaaba and Allah's choosing of Ibrahim alayhi salam, that was a belief, or that was established even before the Prophet arrived at the scene, even before he was born, in fact, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this is surah that provides that, isn't the Kaaba one of the greatest evidences for worshipping Allah? If it was just like a Muslim thing, right? Or a Muslim monastery, the Prophet would have made it. But this is an Abrahamic tradition. It proves that we are connected to Ibrahim alayhi salam. And Allah, because through, like, it's Allah's blessing that He sent Ibrahim to build his house in Mecca. And this connection of us, the Prophet ﷺ and the believers, to Ibrahim is definitive proof that the message of Islam, the message of revelation from the beginning of prophets to the end of the Prophet ﷺ, is all one coherent, unique message, one coherent, consistent message. This is the indomitable proof of that, the Kaaba. And Allah points to it and says, don't you see how Allah protected the Kaaba? Even when you guys weren't Muslims, you were mushrikun, and you had idols in the Kaaba, still Allah protected the Kaaba. And don't you see, O Quraysh, that Allah has given you your power, your leverage, your authority, all the stuff that you enjoy, Allah has given it to you on the basis of what? On the basis of the fact that you are guardians of the Kaaba. You live next to the Kaaba. You are the gatekeepers of the Kaaba. And that is why you have security. لِإِلَى فِي قُرَيْشِ. You are secure. Nobody attacks you. Others are attacked and destroyed. Nobody attacks you because you are the guardians of the house of Allah. You have security for your trade routes. Nobody attacks your caravans because they know these are people who are guarding the house of Allah. So why don't you worship the Lord of this house? فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. This is one of the great proofs that Allah provides the people of Mecca, that this, the Lord of this house, is the one who should be worshipped alone. And He is the authority. You can't deny it. You see it, you live it. And that is what Allah highlights here in this beautiful surah. Also, what's interesting in this is that anybody who experiences going to the haram, we ask Allah to allow us to go to the haram one more time, Ameen Ya Rabbal Alameen, or multiple times, we ask Allah to open the haram up for us, swiftly. Anybody who goes to the haram, the Kaaba, you will see the transformation. You will see the evidence of it's an evidence for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's an evidence for Islam. Like Allah says, فِيهِ آيَاتٌ بَيِّنَاتٌ مَقَامُ إِبْرَاهِيمٌ. It has clear, definitive proofs. So that is another evidence that Allah provides in this juz for the worship of Allah alone. Other evidences that He provides, like you have seen in the Quran, proofs of Allah are all around you. Proofs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are everywhere. You look, you want evidence to be certain of who your Lord is, look around. But look around with open eyes and open hearts. Okay, look at that. أَلَمْ نَجْعَلِ الْأَرْضَ مِهَادًا. Have we not spread the earth out like a bed? This is the first surah of this juz, by the way. وَالْجِبَالَ أَوْتَادًا. And raised the mountains like supporting poles, and made you into pairs. Like, you depend on each other. You depend on each other. You need people and resources to sustain you. You're a dependent creation. Don't you see this? Don't you recognize this? وَجَعَلْنَا نَوْمَكُمْ سُبَاتًا. And we've given your sleep as a way of recovery. وَجَعَلْنَا لَيْلَ لِبَاسًا. The night, we made the night as a cover. The system of life our schedules. Allah has built it for us. The night as a cover, the day as a time to go and earn our livelihoods. وَبَنَيْنَا فَوْقَكُمْ سَبْعًا شِدَادًا. And we built up above you seven mighty heavens. The sky above us and above it, six more skies. So dominant, so mighty, so vast that we still cannot actually, like our abilities to see them are limited only to the first sky. And even the first sky of the earth, we don't really know how big it is, subhanAllah. The universe, we have no clue how large it is. We haven't even observed all of the first sky, let alone the all seven of Allah's skies. Shows the majesty of Allah. And we made in this sky, sirajan wahaja, a glowing lamp. And we sent rain clouds with water pouring in abundance. مِنَ الْمُعْصِرَاتِ مَاءً فَجَّاجًا. Mu'sirat is a beautiful description. It's from the root word ayn, sa, and ra, asr, or asir, which is to juice something. Mu'sirat, the water is juiced out of the clouds, it's squeezed out of the clouds, and then it comes pouring in abundance as rain. لِنُخْرِجَ بِهِ حَبًّا وَنَبَاتًا. We might bring forth thereby grain and a variety of plants and Jannatin alfafa, dense gardens, dense with foliage. Subhanallah. This is an incredible, you want to look at the might of your Creator. You want to know who your Lord is. You want to know who Allah is. Look at what Allah has made. Look at what Allah has built. Look at everything around you. And then after that, creation and resurrection. As you might remember, this is a constant theme in the Quran. Creation should make you remember that there is going to be a time where the creation ends and resurrection begins. Inna yawmul fasli kana miqata. Surely the day of judgment has an appointed time. That immediately is what Allah leads into. And that's one of the key themes. Surah Ash-Shams, wa shamsi wa duhaha. Again, proofs of who Allah is. And here, he's providing proofs, not just from nature, but also from history. وَالشَّمْسِ وَالضُّحَاهَا. By the sun and its rising brightness, and how amazing the sun, as it rises, it becomes brighter and brighter. And then as it declines, it becomes, dimmer and dimmer. SubhanAllah. This is a sign to think that this is the life cycle of the day. This is the way the day is. And that is also how our lives are. وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا. By the moon as it follows it. وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا جَلَّاهَا. By the day as it reveals its glory. And by the night when it draws a veil over it. وَالسَّمَاءِ وَمَا بَنَاهَا. And the sky and how he built it. And the earth, how he spread it. And how the soul, how he formed it. فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. I inspired it to understand what is right and what's wrong. This is a key principle in our religion, that Allah has inspired us with the ability to detect good from evil. He has built in us the fitrah, the innate disposition. The innate disposition, the fitrah, is our soul searching for our Lord, our Creator. It is our moral compass. And it is polished and refined the more a person goes and their soul reaches out to their Creator, their Creator, to worship Him. It becomes more and more polished, and it becomes duller and loses its power the more a person ignores the calling of the soul, the calling of the fitrah. And this is, something that Allah highlights with the creation of humans, that this is how you are made. You're made to look for a purpose in life. You're made to look for who your Lord is. You're made to do what's right and leave what's wrong. فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. Choices have consequences. The one who makes the choice that is correct, he purifies himself or his soul, i.e. chooses the right path, has been successful. وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. The one who corrupts it is sure to fail. Example, كَذَّبَتْ ثَمُودُ بِطَغْوَاهَا. Historical example, Thamud tribe, the tribe of Thamud, rejected the truth because of their arrogance. When the most wicked man among them rose up, the messenger of Allah said to them, this is God's she-camel, let her drink. فَكَذَّبُوهُ But they gave him the lie, or they called him a liar. They denied him and hamstrung the she-camel, killed her. So their Lord destroyed them for their crime and razed their city to the ground. And he did not fear the consequences. وَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَاهَا The consequences of that destruction. SubhanAllah, this is a very scary ayah. وَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَاهَا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is all-dominant. He is the one who has all the power, all the might. He is not the one who is questioned. He is not the one who fears. We should be afraid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here, the history provides that it's not just if the signs in the universe are not enough for you, then the signs of Allah, like miraculous signs of Allah, will also not be enough for you. Thamud had a great miracle. Unlike any other miracle around them, a camel that rose up from a rock, not a camel that was born naturally. But despite that, they not just disbelieved, but actually slayed that camel, and their destruction was then imminent. The point here is, the surah, one of the points the surah makes is, proofs of Allah are all around you. And if that's not enough, then even a great she-camel towering over you, a miraculous she-camel, also won't really suffice either. And history is evidence of that. Another, but the Quran speaks about some other miracles. The surah has some other miracles that it speaks about. One of those is the rejection of Abu Lahab. Ayah surah number 111. Tabbat yada Abi Lahabin wa tab. May the hands of Abu Lahab perish and may he be ruined. Ma aghna anhu maluhu wa ma kasab. Neither his wealth nor his gains will avail him. سَيَصْلَى نَارًا ذَاتَ لَهَبٍ He shall soon enter a blazing fire. وَمْرَأَتُهُ حَمَّالَةَ الْحَطَبِ Also his wife who carries the fuel. فِي جِيدِهَا حَبْلٌ مِّن مَسَدٍ With a rope of twisted fiber around her neck. Who is Abu Lahab? Who is Abu Lahab? Abu Lahab is the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ, or was the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ. Abu Lahab was the brother of the Prophet's father. Abu Lahab was actually a very close uncle to the Prophet. The Prophet's daughters were married, two of them were married to Abu Lahab's two sons. So it wasn't just a close relationship as in like uncle and nephew, but they were. This was a very intertwined, very linked family. The Prophet was very close to Abu Lahab in this regard. But when the Prophet climbed the Mount of Safa to invite the Meccans for the first time publicly, climbing the Mount of Safa is where all public addresses would take place. When the first time the Prophet ﷺ climbed that mountain and he said to the people of Mecca, Ya ma'ashar al-Quraysh, O people of Quraysh, if I tell you that there is a cavalry waiting to attack you. أَكُنْتُمْ مُصَدِّقِي Would you believe me? قَالُوا نَعَمْ They said yes. مَا جَرَّبْنَا عَلَيْكَ كَذِبًا We have never experienced lying from you. We've never experienced lying from you. So we will not attribute lying to you. Even if it seems improbable. A cavalry attacking from behind the mountain of Safa. The Mount of Safa is a very small mountain. It's improbable. But if you say it, we'll believe it because we've never heard you lie. Then the Prophet said, فَإِنِّي نَذِيرٌ لَكُمْ بَيْنَ يَدَيْ عَذَابٍ شَدِيدٍ I am a warner to you. And I'm a prophet of Allah. I'm telling you about a punishment that is imminent. Now at this point, there were actually people who knew about this. In fact, most people had heard about this. The Prophet never invited people publicly. This was the first time he publicly had invited people. And people were on the fence. They're like, we know he's never lies. We know he's the truthful. He's the trustworthy. We know he's the best of us. We know that. So they were on the fence. You know, should we accept or not? Like, when should we do it? And one person taking a step and saying, you know what, I accept, would have maybe perhaps opened the floodgates to people. But in fact, the contrary happened. The one who stepped up and rejected publicly was the Prophet's own uncle, Abu Lahab. I'm going to actually pause here because our dear Sheikh Yahya Ibrahim has joined us. Alhamdulillah. I will unmute him. Sheikh Yahya, how are you doing? Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sheikh Ali, tahfidhakallah wa ra'a.
Barakallah fika, Sheikh. Thank you very much for joining us. If you could please, Sheikh Yahya's book has been the inspiration, one of the inspirations for the series, and one of the materials I used to prepare. Again, I have recommended it before to people. I recommend it again. I'll post the link for where you can get it, inshallah ta'ala. Please do go ahead and benefit from it. Sheikh Yahya, I would like you to just say a few words about the study of the Quran, the last juz. The floor is yours.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم زدنا ولا تنقصنا وأكرمنا ولا تهنا وأزبر علينا من نعمك العظيمة. In beginning, I just wish to thank my dear brother Sheikh. I just wish to begin by thanking my dear brother Sheikh Arij for inviting me on his platform. I know, mashallah, that he has been proceeding with a juz a day throughout the blessed month Ramadan. And this has been a wonderful, wonderful ni'mah. Anytime you take a study of the Book of Allah, that you give your focus and attention to it, it enriches your life in not just a material way, not just a spiritual way, but a material way. Yesterday, after Salatul Jumu'ah here in Perth, I had an opportunity to cross over and speak with my dear brother, Sheikh Yasser Birjas, in their community at Valley Ranch Islamic Center. I believe it's in Dallas or in Texas. And we were speaking about al-muraqabah, about the belief of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not just the one watching over us, but that compels us to understand that we must be very watchful over our dealings and our behaviors with Allah Azza wa Jal. And the point of the discussion came where we said, how do we establish muraqabah and what is the result and the consequence of it? And I said, well, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Qayyim in Madarij al-Salikin, he quotes Shaykh al-Islam by saying that every good deed or every deed that we perform, any deed, good or bad, has a consequence that affects one of the three realities that we experience. So you and I, we experience a physical reality, an intellectual reality, and a spiritual reality. So every deed that you do has an impact on one of these three things. The month of Ramadan, for example, there's a physical manifestation for it. There is an intellectual process that is strengthened by it. And there is a spiritual aim behind it. Salah tanha anil fahsha wal munkar. It leads you away from sinfulness. So what the assertion is, if you're doing a righteous act, if you're doing a good deed, and it doesn't have that effect that is mentioned by Allah, mentioned by the Prophet ﷺ, therefore, فَتَحَرَّ الْإِخْلَاصِ. Therefore, look into your heart and see how sincere are you in it. So if you stand up to pray to Allah and it doesn't prevent you from sinfulness before and after, then the salah, although it's valid, it wasn't really with the sincerity that would exclude and protect you and remove from you the physical things that you want to remove as a physical reality. It didn't have the psychological, rational effect of increasing your iman and strengthening it from that question that makes you shaky and uncertain. The reality of the salah didn't provide the spiritual reward with Allah that you wanted in its completeness. For that the Prophet ﷺ said that رُبَّ رَجُلٌ, perhaps a man will stand up and pray to Allah, and at the end of the prayer, نِصْفُهَا أَوْ ثُلُثُهَا أَوْ عُشْرُهَا, they only got half of the reward, a third, maybe even just a tenth of the reward. أَعَاذَنَ اللَّهُ مِنْكُمْ مِنَّا وَمِنْكُمْ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. May Allah protect you and I from this. So what about the Qur'an? How does the Qur'an, what is it to do with our physical, intellectual, and spiritual? And this is really important. At the end of the month of Ramadan, I want it to be the stepping stone for a positive, lifelong, year-long relationship with the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, this isn't in ridicule of Muslims who increase their iman in Ramadan, because I'm one of them. So you know how sometimes we used to hear, oh, the guy who worships Allah more in Ramadan, or the sister who wears her hijab just in Ramadan, so be it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant there are things that I did now in this month of Ramadan that I didn't do the month before. And may Allah protect me from this, but I may not do it in the month after. May Allah assist us. Allahumma a'inna ala anfusina. So how do we protect ourselves in the month of Ramadan? With the Quran. How do we enjoy and how do we find the benefit of it in the material, in the rational, intellectual, and in the spiritual sense? For you and I to profit from the Quran, all three must be seen and witnessed, recognized by you. Because in you recognizing that, it increases your muraqabah. That Allah is always watching over me. I better be careful. And I am watching over my relationship with Allah. It comes back to the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ to Abdullah ibn Abbas, the authentic hadith. All of us know. It's in the 40 hadith of Imam Nawawi. Ya ghulam, ihfaz Allah yahfaz. Guard Allah, Allah will guard you. What does it mean to guard Allah? It means guard what Allah has ordered for you to maintain. In that way, you will find material protection for yourself. You'll find protection for your heart, protection for your soul. So let's look at the Quran. How is the Quran, as an act of worship, as a recital, as a source document, as a constitution of life, as a purpose and being, as something that with its letters, looking into its letters, reading its letters, it's the only document, only script that earns you hasana. You can pick up Sahih al-Bukhari all you like, you earn the reward of studying knowledge, but not of reading the material letter. It's not qala Rasulullah, qaf alif lam, is each of them hasana hasana wal ashru bi amthaliha 30 hasana. No, that's only for the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can read qala in Bukhari, you gain nothing but the knowledge of it and the reward of studying the deen, but you read the Quran and you say the exact same word, qala, but it has a material sense, a spiritual sense, and a psychological, rational upliftment for you and I that is not found in other than it. So let's benefit from the Quran. First point, my dear brothers and sisters, is repetitiveness. And the word Quran, you can look at it from the concept of al-qurū', meaning it's not just a recital, but it's a recital that's recited compulsively, repetitively. And Allah uses the same word, thalathat al-qurū', meaning three cycles. So it's a cyclical process. So the concept of Quran is not just something you read aloud for your benefit and the benefit of others. And I said aloud. Why is the Quran recited aloud? Hatta yasma' kalam Allah. Allow other people to be able to hear it. The Prophet ﷺ would read it aloud in his home. But the mushrikeen would come and sit under his doorway, under his window. يَتَصَنَّتُونَ وَيَسْتَمِعُونَ الْكِتَابِ. They would listen. And the Prophet would exit his home and see the footprints all around his window. لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعُ نَفْسُكَ عَلَىٰ أَثَارِهِمْ. You were aggrieved, Ya Muhammad ﷺ, that they came and they heard and they left without accepting. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And these were the likes of Abu Sufyan and Abu Jahl. Abu Sufyan before his Islam, many years later, radiallahu anhu wa an as-sahabati ajma'in. So the first is the repetitive, consistent, regular reading, the wird of the Quran. Wird means a place of regular habitation that is visited for a necessity and essential need. فَلَمَّا وَرَضَ مَاءَ مَدْيَنَ. When Moses arrived to the place that everybody has to go to in Madian, where the water well is. So for you and I, the Quran is given the imagery in our theology as Muslims as the water well of life that you have to return to each and every day, day after day, constantly returning, drinking in the morning, drinking in the evening, bathing in it throughout the day, releasing yourself from the stress and the difficulties and the hardship, removing the angst of your life, washing it over because of the material sense of Al-Qur'an Al-Azim. Number two, Allahumma zidna wa la tanfusna, may Allah increase us and not deprive us. To be habitual, regular in reading. Number two is to master and teach. And Jazakallah khair, Sheikh Arif, all of the imams who are teaching, all of the imams who continue mentoring their communities even from a distance, that our aim and our hope, Allahumma ja'alna minhum, is to be mu'allim in nas al-khayr, that we تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَ, that you acquired, we acquired from the Qur'an and we taught it, passed it on, shared its message, shared its teaching with others who come at a place where we have not been able to attend and be able to provide that teaching and that learning. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those who are regular and habitual in our reading, but regular and habitual in being able to pass it on and share it to others. The best of us, and these aren't words that are light, these aren't just words, my words, these are the words of Khayr al-Khalq, Sayyid al-Mursaleen, Muhammad ibn Abdullah alayhi wa sallam. The best of you, ta'allama, learned. And therefore the emphasis is on learning, then passing. بَلِّغُ عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةٍ. Another authentic hadith in Bukhari, convey for me even if it is but a one verse that you have mastered. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the conveyance of the Qur'an is to gather and then to spread and teach to the one who seeks to receive it, to the one who is unacquainted with it, to the one who hasn't heard it. This is all from the material barakah of the Qur'an. How do you know the Qur'an has benefited you in Ramadan? That what you know doesn't stop with you. How do you know that what you've had in Ramadan, that what you had doesn't end, that it continues? Every day there is progress in your reading and your recitation of the Qur'an. And there is no one who has ever stopped learning the Qur'an after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who's commanded by Allah to say, وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. Oh Allah, increase me in greater reading and knowledge of the Qur'an. Number three, from the way that we can extract that, how do you know the Quran has had a positive effect and will increase your iman? Number three is that you are practicing of the letter of its law. You are from those who have the constitution of life, sami'na wa ata'na. We hear and we obey. Lend it your ear. How do you benefit from the Quran? Allah says near the end of Surah Qaf, how can you begin to understand and learn from the Qur'an if you approach it with a sincere heart, that this dhikr, لِمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ سَمْعَ أَوْ أَلْقَ السَّمْعَ, to a person who gives it his full attention, لِمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ قَلْبُ وَأَلْقَ السَّمْعَ وَهُوَ شَهِيدٌ, to the one whose heart is present, whose heart is available, whose heart is ready to hear and receive the word of Allah, who gives it their hearing, al-qasam'a, that you threw your ear to it, you attached your hearing to its recital, its message. Sam'a here means alimna. So when we say, sami'na wa alimna wa amalna, Allahumma qalu sami'na wa ata'na. What does it mean? Sami'na ay alimna, ta'allamna. Ata'na ay أَقَمْنَا حُدُودَهُ, that we establish the rights of Allah that are established in the Qur'an. One of the most amazing manifestations is our month of Ramadan. Nobody fasts the month of Ramadan except as a sign of their surrender to the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. اللَّهُمَّ جَعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ وَهُوَ شَهِيدٌ. So three things. You gave it, you came at it with a pure heart, not seeking its fault, not seeking criticism, but seeking to be pious and approach it. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهُ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, to those approach it with taqwa. Gave it your full attention, gave it a discernment of study, gave it time the way you gave your math and physics when you were in university time, gave it your complete undivided attention. And number three, وَهُوَ شَهِيدٌ, that you seek to witness its truth. When you put those three things that we have spoken about together, what you'll find is the barakah returns in that your material life is increased. So the Prophet ﷺ, in his famous dua of removing depression, what is it that he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through? What is the dua of the removal of depression taught to us by the Prophet ﷺ? Oh Allah, I ask you to make the Quran the fountain, the blessed spring of our heart. Allahumma ij'al Qur'ana rabi'a qulubina وَنُورَ صُدُورِنَا, and the light of our chest. شِفَاءً لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ, the Qur'an is a healing to that which troubles the heart, the angst of the heart. It's the repeal of sinfulness. It's the thing that cures us in a material sense. Shaykh al-Islam ibn al-Qayyim said, of the first way, the ummah, not unbelievers, the ummah abandoned the Qur'an, تَرَكُوا التَّدَاوِي بِهِ, they left the curing each other and healing themselves with it. That we have forgotten that to cure yourself, the place of cure is the book of Allah, seeking the dua with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the blessedness and the recital of the Qur'an. So first and foremost is that the Qur'an becomes a source of healing and protection in a physical sense. Number two, it causes our mind to be willing to accept matters of the unseen. That the stories of the Qur'an, the lessons of the Qur'an, the descriptions of Allah's Tawheed that we have, the mastery of the angels that is sent to us, the description of how all of this is meant to subdue our intellect from running away from Allah. فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ, bring it back to Allah. Sequester it. What does the word عَقْل mean? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَعَلَّهُ يَعْقِلُونَ. And I'm sure Sheikh Arij has mashallah, أَفَاضَ فِي ذَلِكَ. Al-aql is something confined, right? From عَقَلَ. It's something you hold. It's something that is encircled, ensnared, captured. The Qur'an is meant to, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَعْقِلُونَ, that you have this عَقْل with the Qur'an, that the Qur'an captures your intellectualism. It keeps it from roaming further away from Allah, not restricts it from thinking of advancement, but restricts it from debasing and debauchery that leads the soul to a place that is distant from the Maker, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore you see in the history of Islam that those who pursued the material sciences were very much those who pursued the spiritual sciences of our deen and an intellect and a study within the Quran. And finally, the spiritual reward of the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala returns to us, that when you see it, that you find that when its recitation is recited, that hearts are soothed, that the skin begins to crawl, that the hairs stand on end. And if these are things that we haven't experienced, we need to reignite the study and the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our heart, and the study of the Quran in a more material sense that we seek to ask Allah to propagate it and increase it in our life and in our children. Know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us to maintain our love and our due diligence with Him in all of our affairs. And I hand you over to my dear brother, Sheikh Arij, hafidhahullah wa ra'ah, wa nafa'a Allahu bina bihi wa bina, wa nas'Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala an yakhtim lana wa lahu ala khayr, wa yaj'alna mimman yattabi'una kitaba fa yattabi'una ahsana. اللهم صل وسلم وزد وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا ونبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. My dear Sheikh, I will ask your leave and apologize for not being able to sit for the rest of the session, although I will follow it as I followed the others on your social media. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us al-khayr ويمن علينا في هذا في ختام هذا الشهر المبارك. اللهم آمين. وصلى اللهم وسلم وزد وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا محمد. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك.
جزاك الله خيرا يا شيخ خلاب. Thank you so much for joining us. It was a pleasure and honor to have you. I know this is after your fajr now. Your fajr is already done, or is it? Okay, so this is now the time to get some rest, inshallah, for you. Alhamdulillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from you. Barakallahu feekum. Thank you again. Kullu amtum bikhair, and advance Eid Mubarak to you, because you guys are a day ahead of us, right? So
I will have at around this time, an hour from this time, a live broadcast on the Facebook page of my Eid Khutbah from my home and family and so on, inshallah.
Oh, okay. Today is your Eid, yeah?
It'll be tomorrow, Sunday.
Oh, tomorrow, okay. Inshallah. Okay.
Yeah. So there have been no sightings on our side of the world in New Zealand, Australia, Malaysia, Indonesia. Mm-hmm. Moving across, I don't believe in anywhere in Dubai or Saudi Arabia. Yeah. All of it, I believe, will be Sunday. We will complete 30. Mm. Some people started a day a little bit later, so they may, if they don't see it due to ghumma alaykum, unable, they may even continue till Monday. Yeah. But Allah accept and reward all ya.
Amen. Jazakallah khair. Thank you so much.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum. Returning to the miracle that was the rejection of Abu Lahab. The miracle lies in the fact that Abu Lahab, in the very beginning, rejected the Prophet ﷺ, and he said, "Tabban laka ali hadha jama'tana." Is this why you have gathered us? May you be destroyed. And Allah said, may the hands of Abu Lahab be destroyed. May the hands of Abu Lahab be ruined, and may he be ruined too. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sealing the deal on him, that he will never accept Islam. And Abu Lahab, after this ayah was revealed, remained alive for a decade, not accepting Islam. And this naming of him, and so boldly saying, this is a man who will never, his heart will never turn the other way, is a miraculous prediction of the Quran, like the others that we have seen in, for example, Surah Ar-Rum. And this was one of the evidences that Allah presented very early in the Quran, a miracle so that we can believe in the oneness of Allah along with all the others, like the proofs of Allah that are all around us. Moving on to the Prophet's message, or the Prophet's job is to deliver the message. This is something the Prophet was this is one of the second themes, or this is, excuse me, the second theme of the juz that we want to speak about. That is, the Prophet's job is to deliver the message. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, got caught up in trying to win over the Quraysh. He had an audience with the people of Quraysh, and the Prophet was inviting them. And he said, they seem to be listening. And the Prophet was very hopeful. And then as the Prophet was explaining, a blind man came. This blind man is the blind Sahabi, Abdullah ibn Ummi Maktoum. And he wanted to learn more about Islam. He didn't recognize or didn't realize the Prophet was in the middle of a conversation with the leaders of Quraysh. And the Prophet turned and frowned. He frowned and turned away. He didn't say anything to Abdullah. He didn't put him down. He didn't discourage him. But he didn't want to be interrupted. And as soon as Abdullah came and said what he said, the leaders of Quraysh started laughing and saying, you want us to accept Islam and be one of him and he becomes one of us? Okay, that's it. And that was very hurtful for the Prophet, because he thought that he truly could convince them and win them over. Allah says to the Prophet ﷺ, don't get caught up in trying to win people, and don't, as a result, push people away. Okay? أَمَّا مَنْ إِسْتَغْنَى, the one who was indifferent, فَأَنْتَ لَهُ تَصَدَّى, you eagerly attended to that person. Okay, and it's not your job that he purify himself. Your job isn't to win him over. But the one who came running to you, and he was afraid of God, فَأَنْتَ عَنْهُ تَلَاهَا, you paid no heed to him? SubhanAllah, this is a reminder. This is a admonition. Whoever wants, let him pay heed to it. So Allah reminds the Prophet, your job is to convey the message. Your job is not to win people over. And your job is certainly not to ignore those who are running to you. And what an amazing thing this is, that the Prophet never even said anything. He didn't even utter a word annoyance even. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to set the record straight that you cannot even frown, and you, more importantly, cannot put your hope in trying to win over the powerful, thinking that the powerless or the underprivileged are less valuable. No, every believer is valuable. Every one of them is valuable. Don't get caught up in that. The Quran's a reminder. The Quran's reminder is a message. فَذَكِّرْ إِن نَفَعَتِ الذِّكْرَ, the Surah number 87, Surah Al-A'la, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, remind, if reminding will help. Those who stand in awe of God will heed the reminder, but it will be ignored by the most wicked. سَيَذَّكَّرُ مَا يَخْشَى وَيَتَجَنَّبُهَا الْأَشْقَى. Again, O Prophet, your job, ayat surah number 88, is to remind. فَذَكِّرْ إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُذَكِّرْ. Your task is only to give warning. You are not, لَسْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِمُسَيْطِرْ. You are not there to control them. You're not there to sway them, or peer pressure them. You are there to convey the message. And that was the Prophet ﷺ's job. So that is something that this juz highlights. And that's something the Quran explains in many, many places. Belief in the unseen. One of the most important aspects of our faith is believing in the unseen. And this surah, one of the themes of the surah is to talk about belief in the unseen. What is an example of this? If Allah can create you the first time from nothing, He can bring you back to life most certainly. And this idea of creation and resurrection is a constant thread in the Quran. فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنسَانُ مِمَّ خُلِقْ, Surah 86, ayah number 5. Man should reflect on what he was created from. What was he created from? From مِمَّا إِنْ دَافِقْ, خُلِقَ مِمَّا إِنْ دَافِقْ, created from a spurting fluid. Then he emerges from between the backbone and the breastbone. Created from a spurting fluid, delivered in this manner. That is, it's not like an honorable manner. You're pushed between the backbone and the breastbone, and you come out after labor in that state that you come out. إِنَّهُ عَلَى رَجِعِهِ لَقَادِرٌ. God is certainly able to bring him back to life. What is the example? The point of the example? You were created from a drop of sperm that was literally lifeless. It doesn't have life of its own. Especially once it has been ejected and after some time has passed over it. From that, Allah created you into a full-grown human being. And the way you were born, remember your humble origins. Don't think you are too big to fail. Don't think that Allah cannot make you again when He made you the first time from that lifeless drop of sperm. إِنَّهُ عَلَى رَجِعِهِ لَقَادِرٍ. For sure He can bring you back to life, and for sure He will bring you back to life. And that is the belief in the unseen. There are scenes on the Day of Judgment. Al-Qari'ah, Surah 101, the crashing blow. Mal-Qari'ah, what is the crashing blow? وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَالْقَارِعَةِ. And what will explain to you what the crashing blow is? Qari'ah is like, you know, like the hitting of something, a stick, the sound that it makes, and it kind of terrorizes a person because they're afraid of the sound and the reverberations of it. That's the sensation the person will feel on the Day of Judgment, that there will be trembling. On the day, people will be like scattered moths, and the mountains like tufts of wool. And the one whose good deeds are heavy on the scale will have a pleasant life. And the one whose deeds are light will have the bottomless pit for his home. فَأُمُّهُ هَاوِيَةً. The bottomless pit. That's how Allah describes hellfire. It is like that's his abode, and it's like it's like he's tumbling perpetually. Not like within hellfire, there's a place where he's punished, but like his spirits are perpetually tumbling. And that is where he's going to be. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا هِيَ. What will explain to you what that is? That is a blazing fire. Also, Surah number 82, Surah number 84, Surah number 81 in this juz describe the scenes from the Day of Judgment. إِذَا سَمَاءٌ فَطَرَتْ. When the sky is torn apart. وَإِذَا الْكَوَاكِبُ انْتَثَرَتْ. The stars are scattered. The seas burst forth. وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ فُجِّرَتْ. وَإِذَا الْقُبُورُ بُعْثِرَتْ. The graves turned inside out. Every soul. عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَّا قَدَّمَتْ وَأَخَّرَتْ. Each soul will know what it has done and what it has left undone. That is the day you will find out the consequences of your choices. The description on the Day of Judgment. As you notice, the Day of Judgment is described to remind us that we have accountability coming. Watch out. O humans, يَا أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانِ إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَدْحًا. You are toiling laboriously towards your Lord, and you will meet Him for sure. And then Allah describes the scene from giving the book in the right hand. The one who's given the book in the right hand, like we talked about yesterday, will be very happy, and he will have an easy reckoning, and he will return happily to his family. And then the one who is given his record from behind his back, Surah number 84, not in the left hand, it says here. It says behind the back. What gives? Well, here is a person who was hiding his hand, his left hand, behind his back. He knew he was going to get his record in his left hand. He knew he was doomed. So he thought that maybe if I hide my hand behind my back, then nobody would see it, and thus I won't get my record in my left hand, and mistakenly will be given to me in my right hand. That right away tells you the state of mind of this person and how he lived his life. Thinking he could deceive Allah, fool Allah, thinking that the whole idea of resurrection accountability is a joke and he could just get away with it. Can't. فَسَوْفَ يَدْعُو ثُبُورًا. On that day he will cry out for destruction. وَيَصْلَى سَعِيرًا. And will burn in the blazing fire. So it's a very, very scary description. And just as you see the description of how the person is acting, his hand behind his back, tells you all about how this man thought and lived his life. Okay? He thought this whole thing was not going to happen, and he just get away with it. When he gets there, that's not the case. Surah number 81. Surah number 81 is إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُبِرَتْ. One of the interests, this has a lot of ayah number 1 to ayah number 14 describes the Day of Judgment. I'm highlighting ayah number 8 here. وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ. When the baby girl buried alive is asked, بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. For what sin was she killed? This is one of the glimpses of how Allah will give out the judgment and the justice on the Day of Judgment. Here is the baby girl. This is a innocent victim. She was killed, buried alive, just because she was a girl. Okay? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not only give her justice that she deserves, but she would also get her day in court. She will get to hear, she will get the satisfaction of having her case heard. This is Allah describing how the voiceless in the world will get a voice on the Day of Judgment. So don't ever think when there's oppression and there's people who are getting killed, there's people whose voices will never be heard, their stories will never be told, don't ever think that their stories will be untold. on the Day of Judgment, Allah will give them the platform to tell their stories, and their oppressors won't have the opportunity to respond. Because the oppressors know they're guilty and they're already convicted before even the court sets up. Allah won't even give them the opportunity to defend themselves because there's nothing to defend. But perfect justice is Allah gives first the opportunity for the oppressed to tell their story, tell their side, and then gives the judgment. So that's the perfect justice that Allah will serve on the Day of Judgment. That's why it's Yawm al-Din, the day of full payback. You will get your full payback. So don't, when we see evil in the world, we shouldn't get depressed. We know there's a Day of Judgment. That is the day when Allah will settle all the scores. And this is one of those instances, a glimpse, a small example that shows how perfect and powerful Allah, how perfect Allah's justice is, how powerful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. A description of the hellfire, a scary one. وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ. Woe to every fault-finding backbiter who amasses riches, counting them over, thinking that they will make him live forever. This is not somebody who is just earning wealth, because there's nothing wrong with earning wealth. In fact, Quran calls wealth khayr. إِن تَلَكَ خَيْرًا الْوَصِيَّةِ. Okay? But this is a person who is obsessed with material gains and at the expense of everything. Profit over everything. Profit over at the expense of people's wellness, at the expense of the corruption of the soul, corruption of the system. It doesn't matter, destroying the earth and then the environment. It doesn't matter as long as I make profit and I can hoard my profit. Amasses riches. You read this, and this could be talking about like the world today. In fact, it is talking about the world today. The ultra rich, the ones who exploit, the ones who get rich when 35 million people are unemployed, the richer, the richest, the ultra rich are getting even richer. Amasses riches, counting them. And that's the only concern that this person has. يَحْسَبُ أَنَّ مَعْلَهُ أَخْلَدَ. Thinking that this will make them live forever, or this is the only thing that matters. كَلَّا. No, indeed. This person will be thrust into the crusher. لَيُنْبَذَنَّ فِي الْحُطَمَ. It's the crusher. Hatam is like a valley where, like, you know, if you're passing between two mountains, like a passage where at the narrowest part of it, the mountains are like crushing you and you really can't really like go through it. That is how Allah describes it. The fire won't just burn, it will crush. And it will crush in a way that it will tower over them. Innaha alayhim mu'sada, closes on them, towering in columns. We ask Allah's protection from that. A devastating description. These people crushed the others, right? The ultra rich would crush the poor. They would take advantage of all the, they would exploit endlessly. So the fire fittingly would crush them on this day. We ask Allah's protection. Description of paradise in Surah 78. I encourage you to read that on your own. I'm going to move on to the fourth theme. Believing equals doing good deeds of all types. All sorts of good deeds. That is what Iman means. Believing in Allah, believing in the Prophet, it's not just a mere statement. It is actually a expression of action. And what is that expression of action? Wal asr, by the declining day, as the time is running out, as the minutes are squeezed out of the day. Innal insana lafi khusr, man is deep in loss, except for those who believe. Illa alladhina amanu wa amilu salihat, who believe and do good. Right, the iman leads to doing good, that leads to urging one another to the truth, that leads to urging one another to be steadfast and patient. That is the idea. Iman leads to good. Good deeds are of all types, but particularly urging the truth and urging steadfast. All types of good deeds. Good deeds that are personal, good deeds that are publicly, that serve the public. Watawasaw bil haqq is actually serving others, serving a cause. Not just ritual acts of worship. That's not only what faith is. It is serving a cause, serving a purpose that's larger. And then doing so and not giving up at the first instance of adversity. No, being patient, even if results are not coming. That's the state of mind of the ones who truly believe and do good deeds. Patience through gratitude. Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. One of the most incredible surahs of the Quran, and also the shortest. And that's why many people would like to read it. This is the one. O Prophet, we have given you abundance. We have truly given abundance to you, O Prophet. So pray to your Lord and make sacrifice to him alone. It is the one who hates you has been cut off. The Prophet ﷺ and his second son died in infancy, the people of Mecca, the not people, all of them, but the leaders of Mecca who were opposed to the Prophet, they started celebrating. They were like, yes, he is done. Butira Muhammad, this whole thing, this whole Islam thing will end with him, and we're glad that his son died. Can you imagine the Prophet ﷺ having the heart now to be asked to make da'wah to these people who act this way, rejoicing at the loss of his son? Like, that's, you've reached a level that's below human now. But Allah says to the Prophet in this moment of grief, "Inna atainaka al-kawthar," we have given you so much good. Look at all the good that you have. All the good that you have in this world. All the good that's waiting for you in the next world. That will help you get through the more difficult points, more difficult things of life. That will help you navigate the tough parts of life. That gratitude will give you patience. The optimism in the darkest moments will give you the strength to get through those darkest moments. And also your prayer. فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ. Pray to your Lord, even if it's difficult, even if it's hard to, you know, get khushu at that time of sadness, but continue, just pray, go through the motions if you have to, because that is you holding on to your gratitude, and that is what helps you get through it. One har and sacrifice to him alone, don't ever deviate in your commitment and your devotion to him. This is so amazing. The Prophet lost his son. People on make it worse, they are celebrating his loss. Allah says, you look at all the good you have. Don't look at this bad. Look at all the other good you have. You have al-khayr al-kathir, lots of good in this world. That's what al-kawthar means. You have the pond of al-kawthar waiting for you in the next life. You have believers who will meet you on that pond of kawthar. You don't have a son, O Prophet, but millions will name their sons after you. They will be, you know, Muhammad, they will carry on your work. They will carry on your name. So this is patience through gratitude. And how amazing is it of a message, and how amazing of a foreshadowing it was for the Prophet ﷺ as well. Purify yourself. This is an important part. Our soul has to be purified. In Surah number 91, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. We already looked at this a little bit, but looking at this, the potential to be the best. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ وَالتِّينِ وَالزَّيْتُونِ وَطُورِ سِينٍ وَهَذَا الْبَلَدِ الْأَمِينِ. Let's open the surah, let's take a look at it. By the fig and the olive, and Mount Sinai, and this secure land. Fig is referring to Nuh alayhi salam. Olive references Isa. Turi Sinin, Mount Sinai, references Musa. This secure land references Ibrahim and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. These five represent the best of humanity. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. Humans, we have the potential to be the best of the best, like the prophets were. But yet, ثُمَّ رَضَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ. Then we reduce him to the lowest of the low. Unfortunately, that is our desires, that is our inability to stay, inability to do good deeds. That is what leads a person. The potential of a human is highlighted in the oath, and then unfortunately the reality is highlighted here. Except those who believe and do good deeds. That is what the good deeds do. فَلَهُمْ أَجْرٌ غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ. They will have an unfailing reward. Remembrance of Allah, the last two surahs, the Mu'awwidhatayn, I seek refuge with the Lord of the daybreak against the harm in what He has created, the harm in the night when darkness gathers, and harm in witches which blow a knot, the harm in the envier when he envies. This is evil that is on the outside. People who want to hurt you, people who want to harm you, people who are envying you, Allah protect me from all of them. And then there is the evil of the inside. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَهِ النَّاسِ. I seek refuge with the Lord of people, the controller of people, the God of people, against the harm of the slinking whisperer. مِنْ شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ. The one who whispers into the hearts of people, whether they be jinn or people. The idea here is we are asking Allah to protect us from evil influences from the outside and evil whispers and desires and inclinations from the inside. And that remembrance of Allah is a good deed. Care and compassion for others. Good deeds are not just spirituality. Good deeds extend to serving the creation. He has not attempted the steep path. فَلَقْتَحَمَ الْعَقَبَ. And what will explain to you what the steep path is. What is the steep path? فَكُّ رَقَبَ. It is to free a slave. It is to feed at a time of hunger. Not feed when there's a lot of good, but feed when it's very difficult to acquire and find food. In moments of difficulty, to do good. In moments of difficulty, to continue doing acts of charity. That is truly care and compassion. That is a hallmark of the believer. An orphaned relative, a poor person in distress, and then when this person has done all this, then he will be ثُمَّ كَانَ مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, of those who believe, and urges one other to steadfastness and compassion, care and compassion for others. That is what iman means. That's what it represents. That's the representation of it. And this surah is an early Meccan surah. This is revealed when the people around the Prophet are not Muslims. So it doesn't matter if they're Muslims or not. Our faith teaches us to take care of them irrespective of their faith. That shows the reality of our faith. That it's an iman that leads to action, which is actions of steadfastness and compassion. Business ethics. How do you do business? That's part of our faith. It's not like, okay, business is business. I'll pray, do my salah, and do my fasting. But business, I'm just going to do whatever I feel like, whatever makes me the most money. In fact, to the contrary, business ethics are part of our actions. وَيْلٌ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ. Woe to those who give short measure. A destruction is waiting for them. Who demand of other people full measure for themselves, but give less than they should, when it is they who weigh or measure for others. Don't they realize that they'll be raised up on a mighty day, a day when everyone will stand before the Lord of the worlds? Don't they recognize that their cheating will eventually come back to haunt them on the day of judgment? Business ethics is a good deed that is part of iman. With ease or with difficulty comes ease. That's a mindset of patience. فَإِنَّمَا عَلْ عُسْرِ يُسْرَ إِنَّمَا عَلْ عُسْرِ يُسْرَ. At even most difficult times, don't ever lose hope. Don't ever give up optimism. Surah Buruj talks about, you may not win in life. Surah Buruj, Surah 85, talks about the people who lived before the Prophet ﷺ, after the Isa ﷺ, before the Prophet, who were believers, true believers in Isa as a prophet of Allah, and they were burned to death by a tyrant king. Burned to death because of their belief. And this story, this in the middle of the Juz, it stands out because the other Juz does not tell a lot of stories of the prophets. This is actually one of the few stories in the Juz, and the only time this story is mentioned in the Quran. It stands out because we're talking about the Day of Judgment and what it means to believe in Allah, what it means to do good, and what it means to be dutiful believers. But it doesn't guarantee you that life will be a victory for you. You may actually end up being like the people of the Ukhdud who got burned, who didn't actually survive, who lost in the worldly sense. But they won in the Akhirah for sure. So all of this is what tells us about good deeds. And this Juz speaks about that. Last theme of this Juz is human beings are fickle and often ungrateful. What is the attitude of a human being? فَأَمَّا الْإِنسَانُ, Surah number 89, Surah Fajr. The nature of man is that إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ رَبُّهُ, when his Lord tries him through honor and blessings, gives him authority, gives him a standing, gives him honor, gives him blessings. What does this man say? يَقُولُ رَبِّي أَكْرَمًا, my Lord has honored me. And look, Allah says when his Lord tries him, because even giving and gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, honor and blessings, these are it's a test to see if we're thankful or not. وَأَمَّا إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ, but when he tries him through the restriction of his provision, through the loss of honor, through the loss of a status, through the loss of a position of power and authority, through a loss of blessings, is it still, the person still says, the Lord, my Lord has honored me? No, he says, my Lord has humiliated me. قَالَ رَبِّي أَهَانًا, my Lord has humiliated me. This is the fickle nature of human beings. That is not the way the believer needs to be. And you notice he's saying, my Lord. So it's not like he's a person who's oblivious to who Allah is. He wants to, he's saying, my Lord has done this, my Lord has done this. So there is a The basis of Iman is there, but the actual fruit of it is not harvested. The fruit of it is when good happens, Alhamdulillah, it's from Allah. When bad happens, Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal. Praise be to Allah in all circumstances. Patience through gratitude. The Prophet ﷺ was taught that through Inna atainaka al-kawthar. Look at the good, don't look at the bad. That's going to help you get through the bad times. Here, when the bad happens, instead of looking at all the other good he has, he's like, my Lord has taken away good from me, so I'm humiliated. That is the wrong attitude. The right attitude is patience through gratitude in bad times and gratitude in good times. That is the required outcome of what a believer should be like. Contrast with horses. I'm going to actually end with this, inshallah, example. And Sheikh Amin here or not? Sheikh Amin, I don't see him in the list yet. Sheikh Amin, you're there. Please turn on your camera, inshallah, barakallahu feek. Contrast with horses. Wal-adiyati dabha. Surah number 100. Wal-adiyati dabha. By the snorting, panting horses. Fal-muriyati qadha. Striking sparks of fire with their hooves. Fal-mughirati subha. As they gallop to make raids at dawn. Fa-atharna bihi naqa. Raining clouds of dust. Fa-wasatna bihi jam'a. And forcing the rain to the midst of the enemy. What is this? What is the scene that Allah is creating? He's creating a scene of these steeds, these swift horses that are about to attack an enemy. And then Allah says, man is ungrateful to his Lord. What is the example? The oath have to do with the point. The oath is the horses here, these charging steeds, they are giving their all. They're giving their all for their masters, panting, so furious that they're striking their sparks with their hooves, making a raid at dawn, which is a more difficult raid because they're probably going to get killed. Furiously attacking, even in the face when the odds are stacked against them. And then plunging into the middle of the enemy, certain death. Such force that they destroy the first line of defense, end up in the middle of the enemy. But these horses don't care whether they live or they die. That's how loyal they are to their master. And their master has done nothing for them. The master didn't make them. The master only feeds them because he knows these horses are useful. If the horse was not useful, the master wouldn't feed the horse. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us, taking care of us, continues to take care of us, and yet we are disloyal to him. And he's not even asking us to give up our lives or anything. The contrast with the horses here is to show how ungrateful humans are. How ungrateful humans are as compared to another of Allah's creation, who the humans have subjected to, and they are supremely loyal to the humans. An example from within ourselves, وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ, in this Quran and in yourselves is an example, would you not see? Surah number, juz number 30 here that we have seen has examples or has major themes. It covers a third of the surahs of the Quran are covered here. These are the major themes. Believe in the oneness of Allah. The Prophet's job is to deliver the message. Belief in the unseen. Believing in Allah, in the Prophet, in the last day means doing all types of good deeds. That's what it means. And finally, understanding our nature, our fickle nature, and using Iman and using the reminder of the Quran to overcome our flaws. That is the theme of the 30th juz. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to learn the Quran and to implement it in our lives. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to recite the Quran, to act upon it. We ask Allah to accept from us our ibadah in this blessed month. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to do good after Ramadan is over. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Dr. Amin is having some problems logging in, and our time at 7:30 is up, so I'm actually going to conclude with that. Inshallah ta'ala, thank you for coming. I really appreciate you all coming again, and inshallah I hope to see you around in more online classes. Please stay tuned to more announcements about what we're planning on doing afterwards, and please feel free to share with me your thoughts and your suggestions, and your kind words and du'as mean a lot to me. So please do remember me and my family in your du'as in these last months of Ramadan. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to unite us all again online and in person, inshallah, and that he ultimately unites us all with his beloved Prophet in paradise. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. How would you find out about other classes? You will find out about it through my Facebook page or on the London Mosque Facebook page as well. Both places you can find, alhamdulillah, that. Dr. Ameen is here. Sheikh Ameen, are you here? Yay, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Barakallahu feek, Sheikh. So perfect timing, perfect ending, inshallah. Sheikh Ameen, if you can unmute yourself, please.
Yes.
Alhamdulillah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Sheikh Ali, I just finished up, so you can please say a few last words and make dua, inshallah, for us.
Inshallah. First of all, I want to encourage everyone who is watching us right now that please stick with Sheikh Harij. He's an amazing Sheikh, Jazakallah Khairan, and he has a lot of good things to deliver to the community, especially to our beloved children, to our beloved youth. So please, it's not this program. He has a lot of programs, fiqh programs, zakah programs. So please stick with him. And you will get a lot of benefit, inshallah, from Sheikh Arij. This is the first thing. The second thing, that the program that they had in Ramadan, which is reciting the Quran, it's an amazing idea. Alhamdulillah, I have the same thing, actually, but with the adult and with the many people, alhamdulillah. And it's a good achievement that we reach the end of the Quran, especially when you recite the Quran in front of the Sheikh, and he knows the rules and he knows the ayat very well. And Sheikh Arj is one of those people. Jazakallah khairan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala